traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. I'm back in action. Doctors have got me up and got me going, so I'm here to do some important work on the horse industry. This week, it's going to be all about the road to the Kentucky Derby. We got a lot of things going on there. A whole bunch of different things are going on in the industry as a whole, and it's making it a lot better. And like we've been saying all along, it's about distribution of the equine information that we have, of all breeds, racing, shows, breeding, you know, the whole nine yards. That's what it's all about. And just to give you an idea about where we're at with this thing, the Dubai World Cup car is to be, will be broadcast on 100 to 150 countries, not stations, but countries. That just goes to show you how interested the world is in the horse racing. The $30.5 million Dubai World Cup meeting at Maidan Racecourse Saturday, March 30th, will be seen in, around the world in 150 different countries, all corners of the globe. There's a staggering 33 individual group grade one winners entered across the eight thoroughbred races, headlined by the $12 million Dubai Cup. Now, that just goes to show you that horses are coming from all over the world to race in Dubai because of the money, because of the prestige. That's, you know, that's what our business is all about, is the distribution of the information. And the more information we can get out for distribution, the bigger the purses are getting. The Kentucky Derby this year is going to be $5 million. That's a $2 million jump, you know, but it's going to be televised all around the world also. I tell you, it's just unbelievable how things are going. The Dubai Racing Club, working with its appointed distribution and production companies, Racecourse Media Group, and RMG's agency, HBA Media, has secured some of the biggest names in the sports broadcasting industry. RMG, in the world conjunction with Timeline TV, is providing all broadcast services for Dubai Racing Club, including the World Feed program hosted by Nick Luck. Now, that just goes to show you, you know, that what this is all about. We've got millions of dollars being put into the distribution of it. You know, it's going to be unbelievable. Another first-time broadcaster is the Saudi Sports Channel, which will also be on site and will be on the Dubai Channel and YAS Yaz TV Abu Dhabi. Well, that's a lot of stuff to say there for a guy that's got no book learning. Other than major broadcasters are Fox Sports in the United States, ESPN, Star Plus, in South America, Super Sport in Africa, and Viaplay in Europe, and also IEN TV in Florida. We'll have coverage of it. No, we won't have anybody on the ground there, but we'll have coverage of it. But you know, it's the whole thing that's there. Horses from 14 countries will compete across the nine races on Dubai Cup Day. You know, it's just amazing. It's really good. And that's what we need in our sport. We need more, you know, distribution and get people involved in it. And you don't have to know a lot about horses to, you know, to be watching horse racing and horse shows. You don't have to know a lot about it, you know, because we finally figured out it's the entertainment value. You know, for a long time, the horse racing industry was focused on, you know, people that were in the business and around the business and, you know, that type of thing. And then here about 2 years ago, they started realizing that, you know, they needed to focus on the people that really don't know much about horses. You know, we need to make programming for all people to watch, you know, and you don't have to know all the statistics or the trainers or the horses or the jockeys or the show riders or, you know, where they're jumping and what they're jumping. You just have to, you know, be able to watch it. And that's what's happened. And to give you a good example of what's happened, in the horse business. Now, like in Dubai, they have the world, they've got a carnival there. The Dubai Carnival, and it's everything related around the horses, and they've got food and booths, and they got all kinds of entertainment. They got everything, and I got my feet wet in marketing in the horse business many years ago, back in the early 80s. That's when I got bit by the fever, the horse fever, and then by the entertainment fever. For example, Thunder Over Louisville, the annual kickoff event of the Kentucky Derby Festival, is an air show and fireworks display in Louisville, Kentucky. It is generally held each April about 2 weeks before the first Saturday in May. In years where the Easter Sunday falls on the usual schedule weekend, Thunder moved a week earlier, and it's the largest annual fireworks display in North America and became a part of an opening ceremony event in 1989. With daytime fireworks, 1990, throughout the first nighttime fireworks event. It's officially began the current location along the Ohio River in 1991 with the fireworks and annual air show was added to in 1992. Thunder generally starts in the afternoon with an air show, followed by fireworks showing at 9:30 p.m., along with synchronized soundtrack through PA and radio system. An average of 625,000 people will attend Thunder Over Louisville. Now, you remember, this is all because of the horse business. The horse business created Thunder Over Louisville. It created the air show, and it brings all kinds of economic impact to, you know, to the community. And that's what it's really all about. Since lining the banks of the Ohio River in Louisville and across the river in Jeffersonville in Clarksville, Indiana, some watch from river boats docked and positions auctioned off for charity. So see, what they do is they take all these boats and everything, and you go over and you get a slip and you pay a fee. And that money goes off to for charity. So you know, it's helping the community every just which way you can go in it, and that's just, you know, phenomenal, because it creates an economic impact that benefits and helps everybody, and that's really a fantastic thing. The fireworks are consisted of 8 400-foot barges launched to fireworks. Provided by Zambelli Fireworks International from both sides of the George Rogers Clark Bridge, our Second Street Bridge, as most people know it, and that's where they're launched from. The first 21st century, it's estimated attendance for the Thunder Over Louisville was approximately five times more than the main attraction, the Kentucky Derby. Now, can you imagine that? Having a Kentucky Derby, everybody's watching it. 150,000 people in at Churchill Downs, and then you have the fireworks over Louisville and the air show with 600,000. You know, it's just amazing. You know what it does for the community and the amount of money that it generates. You know, for the state and the industry as a whole. Here, one thing I like about the Thunder Over Louisville is the food. They've got great food there. It's they got a great parade that they have, the Pegasus Parade that's there. They have just a little bit of everything there. You know, you can go down to Hillarks and Bradsby where they make the baseball bats for Major League. You can go there to visit that. You can go to the Churchill Downs Museum. Visit that. It's just unbelievable what all is there, you know, for them to see. And it's good for the community. you know, and it's good for all the, and they do a lot of, how would I say it? They support a lot of different programs like cancer and vision, the hearing, things for the elderly, things for the youth. They support a lot of that. They distribute the money pretty good, you know, and everybody is a winner in it. I tell you, when I sit here and think about how that Derby Day goes, I get tired. When I sit here and think about going to the Derby, to the Pegasus Parade in Thunder over Louisville, I get tired because it's an all-day thing. You know, but it's great because you meet people from all over the country and all over the world, and it's just an unbelievable, you know, place to be at, you know, at Derby time. And that's what I like about the horse business. Just about every community you go to, like the Belmont, the Preakness, Saratoga, the Breeders' Cup, Santa Anita, tomorrow, for example, like in Hot Springs, Arkansas Derby, and Miami, the Florida Derby. And they usually have, you know, festivals and things of that nature that you can go to. And it's just not a horse race. It's an experience, you know, for the weekend, you know, which will be good. So this is what, I'm going to give you a little rundown here of how this all starts. Thunder over Louisville, used fireworks only. They had 175,000 people that attended, and that's just having just fireworks. That's all they had. And that's a lot of people. That's 175,000 people to go and watch them shoot off fireworks or something else. Then they come in and they started a Wild Blue Thunder. And those were the airplanes. It was the 50th anniversary in 1997 for the United States Air Force. That drew 800,000 people. In 1998, they had Thunder Fantasy. That drew 400,000 people. Then they had the Best of Thunder, 10th anniversary. That drew 500,000 people. So then we come along and we got the Millennium Thunder, 750,000 people. A Festival Odyssey in 2001, 700,000 people. A Stars and Stripes Thunder in 2002, 600,000 people. Now, I'm telling you, they got all these different things that are going on, and they're different themes, and people come to see those different themes. And as you go down through the years, 600,000, 750,000, 700, 300, 800,000, 850,000 in 2007, The Magic of Thunder. That was a good one. I was actually at that one. That was really a good one. But, you know, what I'm saying is the horse business is really good. You don't have to know a lot about horses. All you got to do is go and watch them. You know, and there's so much more to do there than just, gambling on the horses or watching them race. And it's a whole week long of, all kinds of entertainment, the different things. I tell you, it's just kind of hard to explain because it's kind of like going to Disney World. You know, they got a little bit of everything there. And if you get into the programming and you find out, what's your cup of tea, you might say, they got tours of the horse farms all throughout Kentucky that you can go to. The week of Derby, the 10 days of Derby, they have the 3-day Rolex in Lexington, which is 93 miles away. And that's a good place to drive down to. It's at the horse park. And they got all kinds of things at the horse park. They got a museum there, and you can see horses from the ages and, you know, the different breeds of horses. And you can watch horses get their shoes put on to their feet. There's just so much that you can do Derby week. You know, when you get there, you go down to Lexington. They got good polo there the week of before Derby. Like I said, they had the 3-day Rolex event, which you see world champion and gold medal horses getting ready to go to the Olympics, and they're doing the jumping and their dressage and the cross country. It's amazing, you know, to go down there. And what I like about the horse park is you can walk right up and get real close to the horses. You can walk right up to the stadium, and you can walk right up to the track where, you know, they do the cross-country eventing. And you get up close and you get personal with it, you know, and you can be educated. And it's a great time. They got a great camping ground there. They got a nice swimming pool, good showers. They got good food there. And you know, it's really fantastic. And that's what I'm saying about, you know, with it being Derby time, now's the time to let everybody know about it, what all's going on and, you know, what they can do, make a vacation out of it. And then the nicest thing about it, once you get a good taste of, you know, the experience of celebrating the horses in our country, then 2 weeks after the Kentucky Derby, you got the Preakness in Baltimore, Maryland, the Pimlico, at Pimlico. And they have a great, fantastic week also. Plenty of seafood, plenty of entertainment. They got a great art festival there. And what they do is they ask people to submit paintings of horses and things. And they have professional and amateur people there at their art festival. And what they use the money for, again, the money that they take in from the art festival is donated to the inner city programming for kids and disadvantaged people so that they can experience art and do their art at no cost to them. You know, and so you see the money is well spent. And they had some great food there. They got great racing on Preakness Day. And then 3 weeks later, and this year is what's really going to be surprising, is they're rebuilding Belmont Park in Elmont, New York. And they're putting in a new grandstand, new track, new everything. It's a 2-year project. It's a state funded project. They're making it, literally making it a sports center in there. It's surrounded, you know, with a focus on horses. So that'll be there. The Belmont, that's a great thing to go to. You know, they got the good entertainment, you know, put it on New York style first class. And that's at Belmont. But the kick of it is this year, since they're rebuilding Belmont, that's going to be held at Saratoga Springs. At Saratoga Racetrack. And man, you talk about it's going to be 4 days of racing there, and Saratoga's really putting it on, you know. And I mean, it's great just going to Saratoga anyhow, but this year you get to go to Saratoga a few weeks early before the actual meet opens up, the season starts. And they got a lot of things there. They got the SPAC Center, the Saratoga Arts and Performing Arts Center. There they've got all kinds of springs there. They've got all kinds of camping, fishing, you know, bicycle riding. They got more colleges in Saratoga than any other community in the country. And they got Skidmore College there, which is a fantastic school. You know, it's just really good to go to Saratoga because there's so much to do there, you know, so much to see. And so that you have that. You know, and then by the end of summer and next fall, you know, we're going to have the Breeders' Cup 2 years in a row at Del Mar. And by the sea, Del Mar's the place to be. That's what they say. And, I mean, it's beautiful because the track sits there right across the road from the ocean. And there's so much to do in San Diego and you know, the Del Mar area. It's just unbelievable. A lot of nice horse farms and things to do there. So, you know, as you can see, and what I'm trying to tell everybody is it's a great sport to be involved in. And when I say be involved in, you can participate as an owner, a breeder, a trainer, a groom, a hot walker, a rider. There's all kinds of things that you can participate in there. And the great thing about it is horse people are willing to teach and explain what they're doing. I haven't met a horseman yet that wouldn't take time to explain something to somebody, you know, about the horse business and all. So that's one thing that, you know, you guys can go out and look at and everything. So, you know, having said that, you know, just Google in your area, equine sports or horses, and you can find out where you can go to visit and maybe see polo or a horse show or horse racing or, you know, go on a trail ride, just Google horses in your area, and I guarantee you there will be some horses or some equine event that you can participate in if you choose to. So, okay, guys, now we're moving on to things that we've been talking about all year long. And it's kind of odd about, you know, the horse business, especially the racing end of it. There's so many factors that go into getting your horse to the Kentucky Derby, which, you know, there's a lot of work into it. First of all, the owner has to pick a horse. He's got to, you know, buy the horse. He's got to pick a trainer. Gets the trainer, then they got to get a jockey. Then they're going to lay out a plan on how to get to the Derby. And we're going to talk about the road to the Derby here in just a little bit. But there's so many things that, you know, that need to go on. And you got to get your horses, you know, up to that Derby trail. Hopefully nothing will happen. They won't get sick. They won't get hurt. You know, that they can just kind of move right along on them. And as a matter of fact, I just acquired part ownership in two horses, an authentic colt and a Constitution mare, which are really nicely bred. They're 2 year olds, so they're actually starting their road to the 2025 Kentucky Derby this week. They're at the farm and they're being trained and they're being groomed and ready to go get to the races. One's going to race in California with Mr. Mandela, and the other one's going to race here in Kentucky in the East Coast with Steve Asmussen. So, you know, we started that process of selecting a trainer, selecting, you know, all the things that we need to do. But there are so many things along the way that kind of hold you back. And especially late in the season now, like it is now, with the Derby just 5 weeks away. All year long, we've been talking about the weather forecast, how the forecast, dictates, you know, where you go, what you do, and how you do it. And, you know, you can't really control the weather, and that's the sad part about it. You know, you just got to deal with what's given to you. And so far this year, we have had some weather situations that weren't conducive to training your horses. We've had a lot of rain in some areas that, like in Hot Springs, and had some rough areas here in Florida and Kentucky and New York and all, but you got to wade through it, you know, and hopefully it makes your horse a better horse, you know. And then the good thing about it is if it does rain on Derby Day, at least you know you got a horse that's been there and done that, you know. That's the thing. Now, for example, out at Santa Anita, we got the Santa Anita Derby that'll be coming up here soon, and you know, other stake races that will be coming up here soon. The forecast for Santa Anita this weekend is forced to cancel weekend racing because of the rain and the high winds that you're supposed to have. You know, and when you're training, you know, that means that you're going to have to train in adverse conditions or just not train at all. And fortunately, for most of the horses that are at this stage and point, a few days is not going to hurt them being off. With heavy rain forecast for this weekend, Santa Anita has canceled live racing on Saturday and Sunday. The makeup card will be added next Thursday, April the 4th, with entries to be taken on Saturday. According to the National Weather Service, rain is expected to arrive in the area Friday evening and remain throughout the weekend. Thursday's makeup card will include the Grade 3 Wilshire Stakes on the turf, which was scheduled for Saturday, the Grade 3 American Stakes on the turf, which was set to run on Sunday. In addition to the Thursday card, Santa Anita plans to run extra races Friday through Sunday. All races will be in condition book for the weekend and will be offered back next weekend. Now, see, that's the good thing about, you know, the racetracks. They work with the horse. You know, they'll add a couple extra races to make sure they don't get too far behind and all. So that's, you know, that's what's really important, is being able to make up that time that, you know, you're losing due to weather. And, you know, that's something that, like I said, you can't control that. you know, you just got to roll with the punches and you just hope, you know, like me being in the business, it was kind of one of those things that, you know, you always hope that on Derby Day, it's 72 degrees, you know, it's sunny, you know, light wind, you know, just a great day for going to the races is what you hope for. But then yet again, when you get one of those weeks where it's just, you know, torrential rains, you know, for 5, 6, 7 days, you're kind of thinking in the back of your mind, you know, you normally you say, oh, doggone it, you know, it's raining again, you know, and you kind of get down. But then on the other hand, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, well, hey, what if we get to Churchill on Derby Day and it's pouring down rain, you know, and the weather's bad? Well, at least, you know, you experienced it and you know what your horse went through and know what kind of shoes to have on him and how the horse is going to react to the mud. And, you know, so it's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a blessing in disguise sometimes, you know, the way you look at it. And, I mean, that's the way I look at it. So, you know, just kind of go from there. But, you know, the road to the Kentucky Derby is kind of interesting. It's a tremendous business worldwide. And Australia, you know, they've got their Kentucky Derbies, and Japan and Hong Kong and Macau, and in Europe, they got their big races, and it's all catching on. And we're starting to see a lot of horses from Europe come in to this country, in South America. We don't see a lot coming in from Japan yet, but I think we might have next week we're going to talk about the Japanese program. And they might have a horse or two in there that could win the Derby this year. They're really good. One of them's running in the UAE Derby tomorrow. And so we're going to see how that one does. And then if he does good, then I think they're going to have 4 or 5 horses that they'll send over to run Derby week over here from Japan. But, and again, like I said, the Dubai Cup is tomorrow. It starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can see it on IEN and Fox Sports 1. It's a great day of racing. A lot of American horses are over there. It's going to be interesting to see how they do. You know, it's a different environment, and it kind of helps us understand when we go to Dubai or to Japan or to Hong Kong or Australia or New Zealand, you know, we see it from our side as us being the traveler and you know, how we adapt to it. And then by the same token, you see the Japanese and all the foreign countries that come here, how they adjust to it. And one of the things that I've noticed a lot in the last 5 or 6 years with the Japanese, they're getting Americanized. They still have their Japanese system and their ways that they do things, but they've made some adjustments here and there for you know, to race in America, and so they're holding true to their heritage and to their sport. But yet they're adapting, you know, so that they can be competitive worldwide, just as we do when we go there. You know, so this year, I think, and I've noticed this about 6 years ago, when they started getting dirt tracks instead of grass tracks, and they started doing all these different things, you know, with their horses. And it's kind of interesting. They've adjusted well. You know, they've bred a lot of horses to American stallions, and you know, their breeding program is really getting up to power, you know, for them. They're really good at it, you know, and they're starting to make a difference. So that's going to be interesting here. But we'll talk about the horses coming over from Japan next week. What's interesting to see is the planning that goes into it. And I'm fortunate enough that I'm behind the scenes with horses that Todd Pletcher has at our Palm Beach Downs facility. We got Dutrow. Mr. Dutrow has his horses over there. George Weaver has got horses over there. So we have like the cream of the crop. You know, there's not another training facility, including racetracks, that have as many, you know, graded stakes runners or derby runners as we do. At one time, from Palm Beach Downs, we had 5 of the 20 horses in the Kentucky Derby. And also, it just says, you know, it's about our training facility, our management, you know, our staff that's there, you know, they're second to none, you know, and that helps the trainers and owners, you know, get to the winner's circle, you know, that they're there. And like I always said about Palm Beach Gems, it's Sunshine Meadows too, because we got a lot of world champions in the show horse industry and standard bred industry. But our three organizations here, we're the home of present, past, and future champions. And I tell you, it's a pleasure to work with the staff and the horses that we have here, you know, because people are shooting at us to beat us, you know, every time we go somewhere. And so, you know, that's really good. But no, the road to the Derby, you know, it's a 20-horse field. You have to get into the Derby by getting points. And when you get your points, you go to the different races, the 27 races that are fixed on for the Derby that you have to run in to get your points. And once you get enough points, you know, then you secure a spot in the starting gate at Churchill. And sometimes that can be kind of difficult, you know, because you're late in the game, and now this time of year, and you got to run against the big guns, the best. They're getting to the peak performance, is what they're doing at this time and point. And so, you know, you like the Arkansas Derby this week, the Florida Derby, we got the Santa Anita Derby coming up, the Bluegrass Stakes, the Lexington, the Wood Memorial. You know, we got a lot of races coming up where you can still earn points, but if you're trying to get points at this stage and point, then you're going to have to run against the best there is in the world, and you're going to have to hope that you can hold your horse together for 4 weeks to get them into that starting gate at the Kentucky Derby. You know, so that eliminates a lot of horses. It used to be that, you know, they get horses running in derbies. Sometimes you have maybe 12, 14, 15, you know, a few times they've had 20, but it was by money earnings then. And so they kind of revised things around and said, you know, let's create a path to the Kentucky Derby and have it, you know, with a purpose. And that purpose was is to get each track like Santa Anita, Pimlico, you know, Aqueduct, all these derby races, all these tracks that would host, you know, a Triple Crown race like Pimlico or you know, or Belmont. And what they would do is they try to focus everybody and give everybody a chance from all over the country to get there. And how you earn your points is up to you. So, you know, you might decide to go to Hot Springs, Arkansas and spend the winter racing there and get your derby points there. Or you might go to the fairgrounds in New Orleans and get your points there, or out west to Santa Anita. You know, you could go there. You could stay here in Florida. You could run Kentucky, you know, and a few other states, you know, and try to pick up points. But that's the whole point of the Derby system, is to spread the talent across the country. You know, and it's kind of nice to have the different horses, you know, meet up at Churchill Downs. And theoretically, you got the top 20 horses in the country, but that's not necessarily true, because sometimes you get your 20 horses in there, like we did a few years ago, and the horse comes out of nowhere. And how did he get into the Derby? Well, they had 2-3 scratches in the Derby, and so whatever, you know, from 21 to 25 was eligible for the Derby. You know, they didn't have enough points originally to get to it, but 21 through 25 were eligible. And we've had a few years where those 21 to 25 horses, one of those horses actually won the Derby. That was a real long shot, you know. So, you know, that's all going into effect now. But like I said, tomorrow we got the Arkansas Derby, and we got the Florida Derby coming up. And all the races that we've had coming up, you know, getting the points and everything, the top 20 are pretty much secured right now, I would say. I would pretty much have to say. You know, because, and let me tell you something, that Florida Derby and Arkansas Derby are all up for grabs this year. And I'll tell you why. there is not an outstanding horse in all the horses that are going pointed for the Derby right now. There's not one horse that's dominating, you know, the fields. It's just, you know, standing up above board. I'm telling you, it's wide open. There could be 20 different winners at Churchill this first Saturday in May. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, because, you know, I handicap pretty good, and I'm telling you, if you can handicap this year's Derby, you're going to make a lot of money, because it ain't going to be no 4-5 favorite or $2, you know, 10-cent horse. It's going to be a long shot, and I was excited about it to see it's coming down, you know, to where we're at now. This year we have coming up, we got, like I said, we got Oakland, we got the Arkansas Derby coming up, we got the Florida Derby coming up, which is going to be good, and this is the last races that we have here through going through the racing. Hey, they had the at Turfway Park, they had the Jeff Ruby Stakes, which is a Derby horse, a Derby points race. A horse by the name of Endlessly ran, won the race. And the trainer came out and they said, oh, you know, how do you think, what do you think, you're going to the Derby? He said, no, we're not going to the Derby. He said, we're going to a $600,000 turf race on Derby Day at Churchill. His horse is better on the turf than it is on the dirt. And so he used the Jeff Ruby Stakes to get tightened up and ready to go for the $600,000 Grade One Stakes race at Churchill. You know, I mean, that says a lot. You know, and you know, if you're a real horseman, you're going to put your horse where he can win. And you know, they didn't think that he'd be able to win the Derby, and they just didn't want to run a horse in the Derby and say, "Hey, I'm running in the Derby." They're going to run in a $600,000 race, and that horse is probably going to win. Endless Sleeper will probably win that race, that turf race on Derby Day at there. But well, we got the UAE Derby coming up. That's tomorrow in Maiden in Dubai. We got the Florida Derby coming up at Gulfstream on Saturday. We got the Arkansas Derby on Saturday. And then we have the Bluegrass Stakes on April 6th, Santa Anita Derby on April 6th, and the Wood Memorial on April 6th. So we got two weekends here, you know, coming up, three races each weekend to get into the Derby. And then they got a wild card event. It's the $400,000 Lexington Stakes on April the 13th that'll be coming up. And so that's always an interesting one to see, because a lot of good horses running that race. And everything. So it's going to be interesting to see. Just about all of our European races have been run to qualify for the Derby. So it's going to be quite a week, weekend here, you know, coming up with the horses, see what they're going to do. Now, the Florida Derby leads a key trio of March 30th Derby prep races. And it's going to be interesting to see. I tell you, I like a lot of horses in this race. It's going to be good. Any one of these horses running tomorrow in Florida could win that race. And man, when you go in there, you tend to overthink everything, and you tend to think like, man, what, you know, how did he work out and everything? You know, it was interesting to see who's there. Shug McGee, he's got a nice horse in there. I think he might be going to win that race. I really do. I think he might win that thing. It's this horse here is kind of, well, when I worked for Shug, we had a horse named Rhythm, and nobody liked him. Nobody really liked him. You know, and I said, what the heck here? I said, this horse is a good horse. I said, I don't see anything wrong with him. I'm working with him every day and see how he's doing. And I said, you know, I said, that's going to be interesting to see. So we ended up going, you know, with winning the Florida Derby with. So that was exciting, you know, in itself there. But, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the card tomorrow, and to show you how good of a card they have and rate horses coming from all over the world. I'm going to give you a rundown here real quick of the races. Race one at 11:30 a.m. tomorrow at Gulfstream. $89,000 maiden special weight on the turf, 7.5 furlongs. Then we have a $60,000 starter handicap going a mile and an eighth on the all-weather track. Then we have the Cutler Bay Stakes, which is $125,000, 7.5 furlongs on the turf. Got the $91,000 allowance optional claiming race on the turf going a mile and a 16th. We've got an $89,000 maiden special weight, 7 furlongs on the dirt. Then we have the $200,000 Pan American Stakes going a mile and a half on the turf. And there's a lot of those horses could have been going over to Dubai, but they decided to stay here, you know, to run in the Pan American, which is a very prestigious race to win and have on your resume. Then we have the $150,000 Ghost Zapper Stakes, mile and 16th on the dirt. We have the $125,000 Sanibel Island Stakes, 7.5 furlongs on the turf. And that's a good race. That's always a good race. Let's see. Then we have the Sir Shackleton Stakes. It's $125,000, 7 furlongs on the dirt. Then we have the Orchid Stakes. Now, a lot of good horses have come out of that race in their day. I mean, it's really good. That's a mile and a half on the turf. Then we have the $200,000 Gulfstream Park Oaks, prep for the Kentucky Oaks. It's a mile and a 16th on the dirt, $250,000. $250,000. And then we have the $150,000 Sand Spring Stakes, a mile and a 16th on the turf. Then we have the Appleton Stakes, which is a mile on the turf, $150,000, you know, right there. You know, and then we have, you know, the Kentucky Derby. I mean, the Florida Derby, it's race 14 on the card. We're looking at $1 million, mile and an eighth on the dirt. It's going to be a full field. And, I mean, it's going to be a great day of racing. I mean, it's going to be one of those days that when you go to the track tomorrow, if you're going to be gambling, you're going to be working all day long, that's for sure. That's for sure there. In fact, the first post time is at 11:30 a.m. tomorrow Eastern time. But the Florida Derby has kind of got me puzzled this year. We've got a lot of horses that are on the way up. They're climbing the ladder, but they haven't come, you know, the usual route. A lot of them have run in allowance races and things, you know, coming into it. And they've avoided some of the minor stake races that get you to the Derby and everything. And I tell you, Joe Orsino has a horse. He's the number two horse. Paco Lopez is riding. Joe Orsino's a trainer, which he's a great trainer. He's a great trainer. Got good staff. I mean, his staff is really good. His name's Hades. And this horse just seems to be having fun when he runs. You know, I haven't seen him really serious yet, but he seems to be having fun when he runs, when he trains in the mornings. You know, he's just like out for a casual gallop. But he's serious when it comes to racing. And then Todd Pletcher's got a horse called Bail Us Out. Irad Ortiz is in a saddle. This horse is kind of up and down. He's been up at Palm Beach Downs training, and he trains good. You know, he's nothing real fancy. You know, he's nothing pitiful, you know, but he looks good. You know, he trains good. You know, he's got one of the best trainers in the country, Todd Pletcher. You know, so he's got all the right things to get there, but what kind of horse is going to show up, you know, tomorrow? That's the big thing, you know, that we're looking at. Then we got a horse here that Safi Joseph Jr. has, Catalytic. He's got La Perua and Irons. And it's a good horse. This horse can run. You know, he kind of reminds me of the White Abario, the way he ran. And he's really good. Then we got Suge McGahee. Now, this is a horse I really like. Suge McGahee's got a horse in here called Conquest Warrior. And Suge knows how to get horses ready. And let me tell you something. Whenever you go to the track, if a Suge McGahee horse is running, he got a shot at winning it. Because Suge has never run a horse that he didn't have a shot at winning a race with. He's not one of those trainers that just runs horses. He gets them fit, he gets them ready, and he prepares them for the task at hand. And when he walks over there, that horse is ready to go, and you're going to get a full effort out of the horse, out of the jockey, out of the staff, out of everybody. And that's Conquest Warrior, the number 9 horse. It was Ortiz and Irons, and that's Suge McGahee, Hall of Fame trainer. Then we have Fierceness. It's a Todd Putcher trained horse. And I don't mean to be laughing. But you know, ever since for many, many years, the horse that's won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile has never run good in a Derby. It's run good everything up to the Derby. But when you get to the Derby, can't find him with a search warrant. And he had last year he had the 2-year-old champion. This year he's got the 2-year-old champion. So is the snake going to bite him again and not get him there? We'll have to wait and see. You know, it's going to be interesting. But the horse has been training good. You know, he's training good. He's as fit and as good as he can be. You know, and this might be a good thing because Todd likes to run the horses, you know, quite a few weeks off, like from the Derby. He wouldn't want to run 30 days, you know, 45 days maybe before the Derby. You know, he'd run a horse. But we're going to see. And that's got Johnny Velasquez in it. He's won a Derby for Todd. He knows what it's all about. You know, so we're going to see. That's Fierceness, the number 10 horse. And then this is, I don't know what to think about this horse. On again, off again. Looks like a champion, doesn't look like a champion. You know, it's kind of like one of those, you know, like a person that, you know, you see during the daytime and they're just ordinary looking, but all of a sudden you throw some makeup and some nice clothes on them and they're out and they look like $1 million. You know, and I think that's the way this Irish Dream is. Irish Dream is, it's a Florida bred, a guy by the name of Wimbaugh trains him. It's got Ruiz in the saddle. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what happens with this horse. You know, I don't know. But, you know, the whole situation with tomorrow is if you want to go out and have a good time, go on down the Gulf Stream. You know, it's a full day there. They got plenty of shopping there. They got a mall. They got good restaurants. It's a great atmosphere to be in just to spend the day. You know, get out in the sun and enjoy it and relax. But the whole thing is, I'm saying, is the whole card tomorrow, which will be up on our website. The whole card tomorrow, 14 races, starts at 11:30. And the last post is 6:42. That's the Florida Derby. So it's going to be a good day for racing. You know, a good day for all, you know, go down and enjoy yourself, have a good time and see what's going on. Now, again, the same thing. we're in Hot Springs, Arkansas tomorrow. Post time for the Arkansas Derby is 7:47 Eastern time. So they got a great card on there. They got a $150,000 allowance race. They got a $120,000 maiden special weight. They got two of those. They got an $80,000 claiming race. They got another maiden special weight, $120,000, $150,000 allowance race. They got a maiden special weight, $120,000 allowance, $150,000. They have the Oaklawn Mile, which is $500,000. They got the Matron Stakes, which is $250,000. They got the Fantasy Stakes at $750,000. They got another allowance race, $150,000, and then they have the Arkansas Derby, which is $1,500,000. And also, what happened? And this is a prime example, and like Gulfstream and Santa Anita, and you know all the other Derby prep races. The cards are loaded with a lot of money, and when you get a lot of money, you get a lot of good horses there. You know, and that's really something that to say for our business. Is to get them in there. The Arkansas Derby tomorrow, I'm telling you, you might see a dead heat. You might see a dead heat tomorrow. You might see a triple dead heat tomorrow. All these horses are so evenly matched, it's scary. Ron Marquette's got Time for Truth. That horse is really coming on big. He looks good. He's training good. And a lot of people are talking about him in the morning on the backside. And that's Ron Marquette, Time for Truth in there. Steve Asmussen's got Informed Patriot, which I think could be a sleeper. This Informed Patriot, he looks like he's ready to explode. But I don't know if it's too early in the year for him, if he might be better off for the Preakness or, you know, maybe a race Saratoga over the summer. But that's Steve Asmussen, the Informed Patriot. There's another horse here. You know, I don't understand this. Bob Baffert has got a horse named Mute, M-U-T-H. He's a great horse. He's a good horse. And Bob could have sent that horse to another trainer so that he could run in the Kentucky Derby with it, but the owners are sticking with Bob. Bob's still on suspension from Churchill Downs, and that's an ongoing situation. So any horse that Bob trains cannot run into the Kentucky Derby. But he can run in other Derby prep races like Arkansas, Florida, you know, that type of thing. He can do that. And so he's got that horse in there, and I think that this is what Bob's trying to say. I think he's going to go in there. He'll probably win this race. You know, that's Mute. He'll probably win this thing. And then Bob's making a statement saying, see, Kentucky, I got the best horse in the country, and you don't want him to run in it. You know, it's not that Kentucky doesn't want him to run in it. Bob broke the rules, and he's got to go by the rules and the regulations. But I think this is Bob's way of just kind of digging at him. You know, and if he doesn't win, you know, then it was off or not. You know, that's for sure. I tell you, this race is a good race. Brad Cox has got a horse called Timberlake. Man, he's good in this one. He got Flavin Pratt riding. That's a good horse. I'm telling you, he is good. I kind of like that one. Dwayne Lucas has got a horse in here called Just Steel. I said, that's going to be interesting to see. You know, this horse runs late. Kind of reminds me of Winning Colors. I think he's going to take off to the lead, and I think they're going to have to catch him. And they got Steve Asmussen's brother working on him there. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. I tell you, it's wide open. It's another one of those races. It's wide open. You know, a lot of good races there in that day. A lot of good races. And then this is our final Derby dozen that I'm looking at. I really don't put a lot of stock into the Derby dozen early in the season. I always wait till about a month before. You know, the end of March, 1st of April, because those horses are pretty seasoned and done a lot. Now this horse that's here, I tell you, I like him because of the name. I mean, and Danny Gargan, he's a good trainer. He's over at Palm Meadows, here in Delray Beach, but his name's Good Magic. And that just gives me a good feeling, you know. And it's Good Magic at the wire. You know, it's all Good Magic, you know. He's a great horse. He's done a lot, lot there. Back in April, he was doing really good. And he's come along good all year long. So I think he'll be all right there. See what happens with him. Now, the number two horse is Fierceness, Todd Fletcher's train. He's returning to the Florida Derby. He come on off a layoff. Had a little trouble on his last time out, so we don't know what he's going to be able to do. Sierra Leone, that's another name I like for the Derby. That looks good up there in Churchill. He's a nice horse. Chad Brown trains him. This might be a good horse for Chad to hit the board, but Chad hasn't been doing very good this year. You know, he's had his ups and downs. He went like 15 or 16 races without winning. You know, so that was good. But that sounds like a Derby name. See, that's what happens with the Derby now. You get down to the point where you start saying, oh, well, I like that name. I like that color. You know, it doesn't matter what he's done or, you know, what you think he can do. You know, it's just a matter of, like I said, you know, like it happens. I had a girlfriend of mine. She come in and she picked a horse one day and paid $87 there at Keeneland. You know, and here I got a horse in the race that I'm working, the people I'm working for. You know, we trained and we knew all the statistics. We saw these horses train every day. And she said, well, I like him because he's cute. He's got a funny little white nose. And lo and behold, wins. You know, I said, so you can't go figure it out. So that's what I'm saying about the names. Sierra Leone sounds like a good name. We got Forever Young. This horse is a Japanese horse. He might be onto something here. This horse can flat out run. I'm telling you, he can flat out run. He's going to be heavily favored in a wagering pool in the UAE Derby tomorrow. So we're going to see what he does. But if he wins that UAE Derby, I think that he might have a shot at the Derby because they're pretty good about getting horses back across the ocean to get here to run. But another good horse, Catching Freedom. I mean, that horse, he's a horse that's on top of everything, you know, sitting there just looking at it. But so, you know, here, you know, we got like a Derby dozen here. We don't know how good they're all going to be, what it's going to be. You know, Catching Freedom's a one-star farm horse. Timberlake, like I said, with Brad Cox, he's a good horse there. You know, there's just so many things that Mystic Dan, that's another name that sounds like a Derby winner. You know, so that's the point that we're at here now with the horses and who's going to win and what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. But the whole point of this show today, other than me rambling around and everything, first of all, physically I made it through. Some doctors have got me in good shape. So I thank God for that. And then I thank God for having the Derby season upon us. It gives us something to look forward to. And in today's society and the way the world is, we all need something to look forward to. You know, some hope, some dreams, you know, to go to, you know, to enjoy with our friends and family, you know. And so get out and see some horse events. Google equine or horses in your area and see what that does for you. And, you know, go out and see something and then sometimes call me and let me know, you know, or email me, IENEquineTV@gmail.com and let me know what you're doing and we'll try to get you on the air and you know, go for it. So everybody have a blessed weekend. And I'm telling you, get out and see some horses. Get out in the fresh air and see some horses. You know, but be careful where you step. This is Scott Miller for the International Equine Network, Delray Beach, Florida.